So friends, back in the late 1970s, early 1980s, mind you, that was before I was born, just to clarify, there was a lot being written in kind of religious psychology. And following, obviously, other psychological attempts to sort of track the various stages of development in general, there were a number of books written around that time that traced the stages of faith development. So you may have come across some of these, famously, James Fowler's Stages of Faith Development, Scott Peck's. And so there was a lot of conversation about what do the faith stages of being a believer look like, right? And in all of these paradigms, one of the commonalities was that as one advances in development of faith, in maturity of faith, what you see at the highest point is a kind of comfort with mystery and much more of an acceptance and resignation that other people encounter God in different ways. One of the characteristics of the early stages was a kind of like, this is how I encounter God, and this is the only way to encounter God. What one sees in these models in the highest stages is much more of a sense of, you know what, maybe I experience God this way, but there's a myriad of ways that one can come to encounter the living God. I'm 40 now, just had my 40th birthday, and as I look at my own faith development, I certainly recognize some version of that. And what I've come to call in the last few years a cringe attitude toward what I want to call cookie-cutter Catholicism. A view of the faith that says, unless your faith looks exactly like mine in the sense that we could mold it like you would use a mold for a cookie so that they all look exactly the same, right? Cookie cutter Catholicism. I don't know if I came up with that or not, but I kind of cringe at that, right? And I think our readings invite us this weekend to sort of challenge that notion. Now, I want to be very clear, okay, at the outset, what I'm not saying is that there are no commonalities, right, in a revealed religion. I mean, we have certain starting points as followers of Jesus. There are certain beliefs and ways of worship that come down to us that are esteemed, and I don't think Jesus in the Gospels advocates for a kind of anything goes, all paths to me are like the same or equal. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that within the parameters of our basic worship that we've received, and within the parameters of the basic creedal structure that we profess in the Nicene Creed, right, within that there is a ton of variety, a ton of diversity, a myriad of ways that God encounters the human soul. Right, we see this in our tradition. I mean, Fowler's stages of faith development, the highest stage is what he calls universalizing faith. And of course, that's what the word Catholic means in Greek. It just means according to the whole, universal. And as we look at our 2,000 years of traditions, there's just incredible diversity in the ways in which saints have encountered God. There's commonalities, to be sure. Right? But there's also a ton of diversity. In the spiritual tradition, one of the things that I'm doing for our Christian leadership program this year is I'm having speakers on Benedictine. We had a Benedictine monk last week. So Benedictine spirituality, Dominican spirituality, Franciscan spirituality, Carmelite spirituality, and Ignatian spirituality, and Salesian, you know, because there's too many St. Francis people. I don't want to upset them. And exposing the students, because they all have different ways in those esteemed spiritual traditions within the Catholic tent, all have different ways of praying, all have different ways of encountering the Lord, right? And I want them to be exposed to that because I don't want them to fall into a cookie cutter Catholicism that says that the way that I encountered God in the church is the only way that you can. The same is true in the theological tradition, right? There are speculative questions for which the church has said, hold whatever position you want. Like ask a Dominican or a Franciscan whether Jesus would have come to earth if the fall had not happened, and just see the fight that breaks out. Ask a Dominican or a Jesuit how they reconcile God's grace with free will and see a huge fight break out. Both incredibly rooted in the Catholic tradition, but variety in how one interprets and understands the mysteries of the faith. I bring this up, obviously, because of the thrust of our first reading in Gospel today. Because it's clear that the Israelites want to monopolize God's Spirit in the first reading, and they want to exclude Eldad and Medad, who were not privy to be there for the first distribution of the Spirit. And Moses is like, you know, the Spirit can be distributed to all, right? And so we have to be open to the possibility that the Spirit can move in the church in things that maybe is not our cup of tea, right? Similarly, in the Gospel, Jesus is confronted with a similar question. People healing in his name that are not among the core cell of the apostles. And they're like, these guys don't have the authority to heal. They're not with us. And Jesus says, if they're not against us, they are with us. The Holy Spirit can work right outside of what maybe we might anticipate. This is a huge thing in the church today, right? There's all sorts of infighting, okay? You know, there's fights with the traditionalists and the charismatics, right? There's fights over which type of liturgical music is appropriate for Mass, right? There's fights about how to receive communion, right? There's fights about church architecture. Yesterday, I had a wedding in historic St. Patrick's, right? Really traditional-looking church. And then Corpus Christi today. There's tons of fights about church architecture. Fights about how you weigh life issues in an upcoming presidential election, right? And one of the things I want to encourage us from the readings today is to say, you know what? The Lord can work in a variety of ways. Now, that doesn't mean you don't have your preferences and that you don't fight for your preferences and that you aren't extremely opinionated about your preferences and that you don't seek to persuade other of your preferences. I think that's all fair game and good and healthy for the church. But the minute we go the next step and say that if it's my preference, then everyone else must do this, or everyone else must encounter God in this way, right? I think the readings today challenge us. Again, it's not to say that there aren't creedal and worship things that are common in the 2,000 years that we share, that we all should be a part of and united in together. Certainly are, right? But there's a lot of things in the church where we've got to be open to the possibility, right, that the Lord is working outside of what I prefer. Not that what I prefer is wrong, right? And I have preferences in all the areas that I just mentioned to you as tensions in the church. I have preferences in all those areas. And if, you know, in a certain setting, I might share those with you, right? Maybe, probably not, who knows? Right, but that's different than saying everybody else has to do it like this. And I think that's what Moses was challenging in the first reading, Jesus was challenging in the gospel. It's not a free-for-all, but it's also, there's incredible flexibility, versatility, diversity, and variety within the big tent that is the universal Catholic Church. Right? Go worship in Africa. What they consider reverence, right, would make a lot of Americans very uncomfortable. Right? But it's reverent. It's beautiful. Right? There is such diversity and variety in the Catholic tradition that I think I want to just call us to embrace, not downplaying our commonalities, but also appreciating that variety of experiences. If you're not against us, you're with us. God's Spirit is distributed beyond the confines of what we sometimes ordinarily think. So let our readings today challenge us to relish not just in what we have in common, and that's something to rejoice in, but to relish in our differences and the fact that within those differences we can experience different aspects of who God is.